I'm so anyway, I was talking to Kim, but also I don't think I was talking to you. I was talking to Kim about how cool it is to have Spotify and to be able to pull up, and see how far behind I am when it comes to Saints Network stuff. So, but this is hilarious to me. So the last two teachings in December were one was Institution of Idiots and the other was Forgetting. All right. And then you go into January. Adonai Yahweh, fear of Adonai, salt and light. Such a time as this. Kara. I think I'm saying it right. Q-A-R-A. I'm like, wow, I'm really behind. And that's just the Wednesday night live stuff. That's not the rest of the world. What was it that you told us we had to do? We needed to do. We needed to go in and listen to or re-listen to Pastor Ron's The Amon Place. And I'm here to tell you, the Wednesday Night Live he just did was really good. And he actually kind of gave a directive to us, to the whoever's listening, about the time we need to spend in this coming month understanding Adonai. And but it's then titled Kara, so I thought that was interesting. But he was encouraging us to spend time studying who Adonai is and really understand every aspect of him. There's not, I mean, I told you it's 400 and something scriptures with Adonai in it. So, and he's liking the combination stuff. So, yeah, go listen to that one too. We're gonna. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I got at least one more Adonai teaching coming up, but it was looking at this, it was crazy. But I was talking, not talking. I was listening to Pastor Ron this morning at a ridiculous time because I'm not feeling well. So I don't know what's going on, but yeah, it's just not, I'm not firing on all cylinders. And I'm listening to him at 1:30 in the morning. He's going, you need to spend more time with God. He's telling Bob and Kim, he needs to get out of my bedroom. Pastor Ron, not God. So, because there I am, spending time with God at 1:30 in the morning. He's like, I've been woken up every night. I don't want to be woken up every night. Okay, I got it. There are so much changing in my life. It's beyond ridiculous for me. Physically, mentally, spiritually. What else is left? Is that it? What? Emotionally, oh, thanks, Lisa. Oh, wait, there you are. Tuck the hand. Anyway, and this scripture we're going to read, the one that this was left over from 2 weeks ago, my last scripture on my page. So I just trimmed this and trimmed that and spit it out again. But as you can see, looking at the scripture, all of the names of God that are in here, and all the words that we have been talking about in the last month are in here. I mean, it's like, and I didn't even pick it out because of that. I just picked it out because it was David talking about Adonai. I was like, oh, that's good. Let me look at that one. Well, I couldn't say I picked it out, but God did. And man, you're going to need every brain cell you have to remember all of this. And if you have a few spare, please send it my way. I don't know how else to spell it. To use it, AELOAIM. I know there's not two E's, so I spelled it phonetically. I learned from the best. Yes, I was pointing at you, Pastor. So, one of the things that Pastor Ron was saying in these teachings. I know it's saying something to Kim about this. How does he keep up? Because we can barely keep up with his teachings. How does he keep up? He has two brains. He is like a cow that has two stomachs. He's a man that has two brains. Lord bless that in him. We need that continued two-brain thought process so that we can try to catch up. But he was saying, and this was part of the thing I was listening to. We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit and do what God is requiring us to do. And he said it like that. He's not asking. it's requiring us to do. And it's a relationship and a partnership. We know that, but now we have to know that and do what he's requiring us to do. So one of my questions too, and I'm glad Vicky sent out an email, was understanding what this fast is. What am I supposed to be fasting? What am I supposed to be doing? So she sent the thing out about, we're now in the tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. We're going to start the morning part of Isaiah 22:11. I had to go back into Isaiah 22:11 this morning and read that scripture and realize that the word Kara or Kara is in there. Whatever, Q-A-R-A. And then say what? Oh, I thought somebody said something. Kara. Is it Kara? It's Kara. I think it is Kara. I was trying to get it pronounced correctly. And I went in and I read it. I'm going to read it to us. I'm just going to, because it seems so very important right now. Isaiah 22. Actually, all of Isaiah is pretty interesting. Oops. What's the scripture? Okay, because I went to 22:11 and it said, you made also a ditch between the two walls. What? That's not the right one. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call, and that word call is the word Kara. Call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. So I'm good with the weeping part. That's what we did last week. I'm still doing that. Baka. Baka! And to mourning, what word is that one? Mispaid. I think that's one. Lamentation. And to baldness. That's the one where I'm a little iffy on, just because the English translated that way. Anybody else look that word up? He did? In the Amon thing? Okay. Oops, not on. I'm sorry, I thought I had it on.
Baldness has to do with fulfilling a commitment to God. And then once it's done, you offer that as a sacrifice to him. So Paul, he used Paul as an example, had a commitment, I guess, with some other men. And I think they were in Rome, I'm not sure. And when they were done, he had his head shaved, and then he took that hair and sacrificed it as a burnt offering to the Father.
Burning hair.
Yeah, that's nice.
Wow.
But I mean, so that's where the baldness part comes.
Okay,
in.
So we're going to...
Because it comes from that Nazarite vow.
Okay.
He says not every Nazarite vow. Most of them weren't for a lifetime. They were for just a temporary season. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know. Are we going to have a fire down here at the end of the third week and come burn our hair? What? Okay. Pastor's willing to shave my head. Anybody else want to join in? Let's take another poll. Oh, I know mine doesn't. Okay. I've just looked at my baby pictures and go, yeah, I wasn't exactly the cutest baby. Look at that head. Okay. Now, jump ahead to Psalms 86. By the way, so many things that happened in Isaiah, there seems to be a counterpoint in a positive sense in Psalms. Not that all of Isaiah is negative, but oh my goodness. What was the other word? I know, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. Mark had a word of warning about how the enemy was coming to get us. And Psalm 64 that the Lord gave me yesterday in prayer is a psalm like that. And so is this one, where when you read it, you can see how the enemy is trying to get David. But he's like, that was kind of like his whole life, wasn't it? I find it interesting when you do just the first verse, bow down thine ear, O Lord Jehovah, hear me, for I am poor and needy. I'm like, he's a king. How can he be poor and needy? Come on, God, just pulling my leg. But then you go look up poor and needy, and I realize I'm poor and needy. Right? So poor being depressed in mind or circumstances. Okay, I can relate. And then needy is in the sense of wanting, especially in feeling destitute. All of this is talking to me, feeling how things are going, feeling depressed in mind, all that. I've been feeling that. I'm like, what is going on? And then here it is. So did David. Now, when was Psalm 86 written? That's one of the things I tried to find out. And it's not really clear. Nobody seems to have a really clear time period. But of course, everyone thinks it's during that time that Saul was chasing him. That's one of them. Or when Absalom was being Absalom, right? Yeah. And so either way you look at it, it must have been a really difficult time for David.
Some of the definitions, so I think you could also look at this through, poor also means humility.
Mm-hmm.
And needy is also, it doesn't use the word contrite, but it really describes it. So that would be a reason why he would ask God to Shema what he's saying, because he's in that position of being humble and contrite before the Father.
Is that word here, Shema?
Isn't that what hear me is?
It's not Shema, it's Anah. It's Anah. No, it's okay, because that's what I thought. But it's still looking for a response from the Lord, right?
It does talk about dwelling with me. So, yeah. Yes, a response from the Lord, yeah.
Yeah. So still, whether you're like me and I looked at it from this side, or you're like Vicki and you look at it from this side, David was a very unique person. So are you. Each one of you. This could be you in any circumstance. We don't have a choice in so many things anymore about how we're going to act and how we're going to be. What happened?
Doesn't know. She just said she has no clue what fell.
What happened? Okay. So many weird things have been happening on top of all of that. So the Lord is with us, obviously. He is totally with us as saints, as sons, pushing us, not really pushing us, but walking with us forward in what he's doing in the earth. And we know it's something, I don't know. Look around. It seems like something is going to happen soon. And I'm talking in the spirit realm, not necessarily in the natural. It might happen in the natural. I just know that God is moving, and he is totally with us on our side and all those kinds of things. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about Adonai in the Old Testament. And then last week, Vicki talked about Adonai/Kyrios in the New Testament. So we're just going to keep on going. So, bow down thine ear, O Lord Jehovah, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, Elohim, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. So where is your trust? We all love to say, want to say, it's all in God. It's all in the heart of God. It's in my intimate relationship with the Father. Well, if you're a little lacking in the intimate relationship with your Father, your trust might not be as much there as it's supposed to be. So then I'm going to sound like Pastor Ron at 1:30 in the morning. You need to spend more time with God. You need to spend more time with him. That relationship is so important. Yes, Vicki.
Can I back up to verse 1?
Yes, please.
The bow down thine ear really is speaking too about he's asking the Father to extend his revelation according to his eternal plan, because that's what those words mean. He's all about wanting to know what's coming.
Okay. And
how he can be a part of that.
Yeah. Divine receiver of divine revelation. That's one of the definitions I was looking at there too. This is a message for us. Okay. Persevere. Go ahead. No, please.
I was just going to say, so a lot of people can read this for face value and think that, you know, David's just always asking for help from, you know, to protect me, you know, deliver me. And while that's an element in there, he is also confident that of what God's doing in his real heart. I mean, the essence of his heart is always to be a part of what God is doing and to be aligned with what God's plan is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's an important perspective to have, especially if we're talking about Adonai, who's positioning us according to the core identity that he's placed within us and how it fits into the overall authority structure of God's plan.
Yeah. Have you all been asking Adonai who you are? I think that's one way to say it. What God has created, what he has created you to be, why you're positioned here now, you know, like, why am I up here in front of all your people? You know, that kind of thing. If you asked him, you know, there's so much going on in the world, but even in our own lives, it's sometimes asking him a question that simple can reveal a lot and start to make you cry. I'm not going to cry today though. Right, Lisa? Correct. Thank you, Lisa. She's my friend. So, I mean, I know that's part of what we started off in this month of February was asking that question. Make sure you spend time with him. Ask him who he created you to be. And then say them out loud. Or remember the words that the Lord has given you already. Prophetic words that have been given to you already. Scriptures that he gave to you personally already to help you through this or to show you that or whatever. Don't forget those. Remember those. Remember. Let's see. Where am I at? I think I only got to verse 2. Verse 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, that's Adonai, for I cry, and there's that word, para, unto thee daily. Now, I had to go look up the definition of that word. And again, he taught on this a while ago. So, because it's about the partridge who takes upon itself, that word cry, kara, to take over a nest with eggs on it and sit on them and that kind of thing. Nurture it. But like I said, the Wednesday Night Live teaching is called kara. So he talks about it some more. Go ahead. I understand. I don't know that I can answer that question. Let me look at my notes real quick. So tell me when I don't make sense, meaning you don't know that. So we know that kara is being willing to assume responsibility for something that's possible, but it's been abandoned. That's basically that. Okay, good. That makes sense. So I don't know that I can tell you what he said new. It'll come to me as I go along. So I find it interesting that the king, if he was king at this time, but that David, I'll say he was king at this time, is crying out for that possible thing that hasn't been done, and now he's going to take responsibility for it. In the middle of what? All these people are just messing with him. The enemy is messing with him. I'll keep going, and you might see all the connection there. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, Adonai, do I lift up, yay, NASA, my soul. Okay, I say that, yay, but anyway. For thou, Adonai, art tov and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon, there's that word again, thee. You can see how, I don't see wrapped up is the right word, but you can see how much into this lifestyle, this son's life, David is. Even though he didn't have all the other things, the advantages we have, so to speak, he was after not only the heart of God, he was after understanding his positioning and what's going on right now. And he also wants Yahweh, Jehovah, the power and the authority aspect as well. Go ahead. You have a thought. I can see it from here, Adrian. You can just spit it out and I'll let you. Just kidding. Verse 6. Give ear, O Lord. Now, this is Jehovah, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. So really, to me, bottom line, David is a supplicator. I don't know that's necessarily good, bad, or indifferent. But, I mean, really, what does supplication, what is that? You're asking for resources? You're asking for a source of what, I mean, what is supplication? That's actually a question I'm asking everyone, so someone can say something. Go ahead.
It's actually inquiring of God of what he is doing or wants to do so that you can align yourself with that.
Right. So in a way, obviously from a spiritual aspect, I'm trying to source what's going on with God and tap into that so I can partner with him and move forward. That is a prayer of David. Did anybody look at the word, look up the word prayer at the beginning? A prayer of David. Is it? That's a good question. There it is. It's tefillah, except yeah, it doesn't matter. Spelled differently, all over the place. Tefillah. So we've talked about that one too. We've had discussions. We've had teachings. I don't know if we've taught about it, but Pastor Ron has taught about that aspect of prayer. And that it has, as part of the definition, supplication. So here's the other part of definition I had to look up this morning. It means to be fully exposed before a judge, to assess or to fall prostrate. Yes. I know, I do that all the time. Fall on your face before the Lord. Fall on your face before God. Fall on your face before the judge, which is God. What is it? A bug? Okay. So all of this, Psalm 86, is wrapped up in a couple of things. Prayer, obviously number one, because that's how it started out. And this is one of the few psalms that starts out as a prayer of David. A psalm of David, a song of David, but this is one of the few that says a prayer of David. So that's kind of, well, not kind of, it's pretty unique in this book. Number two, we're wrapped up in, and this is a good wrapped up, by the way, in the many different aspects of God. Different from a different viewpoint of God that David's speaking about in this psalm. And in so many ways for David, I think it is a source of comfort because he's calling on all that he knows about the Father and every part of who he knows about the Father. Come help me. Check this out. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, Lord. I'm mentioning every aspect of who you are because I want to be in every part of what you're doing. I want to be in every aspect of what's going on. I want to be part of Adonai. I want to be part of Adonai Yahweh. I want to be a part of Elohim. I mean, really, this is like a psalm of saints because of all the definitions of the words. How did he even get to be able to write this and not get bogged down, so to speak? I gotta drink some water. But it's because he had a heart after God. It's because he spent time with him. And that's what I'm going to tell you guys too. And so you'll hear when you listen to more of Pastor Ron's teaching. Spend more time with him right now. Maybe forever, but anyway, spend more time with him. Study the word. Just read the word. You don't have to study it. Just read it. Go and read Psalms, that kind of thing. But definitely lots of Adonai teaching coming forth out of everyone in here. I don't know who's teaching next. Who's teaching next? What? You. Good. Pick up where I left off. No, I'm just kidding. Teach what God tells you to teach. Okay. Where am I? Nowhere. Verse 4? Do we get to verse 4? I'm all the way down to verse 6? Okay, verse 7 then. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon. There it is. Is that the third time it's mentioned? I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. So one of the things that I've been getting encouragement from when I talked to Mark Burke, by the way, Think like a son. Think like a son. Okay, Mark, what does that mean? Think, oh, I means in the day of my trouble, I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon thee. I think the thee was going to be referring to Jehovah. But anyway, when you're in trouble, whatever the trouble is, and let's just say trouble can come in many forms. Maybe. Yeah. What do I need to do? I need to do the kara. I need to open myself up to the Lord, to Jehovah, and allow him to speak to me. That's what I need to do. And always. And then, I mean, in the rest of the letter, I mean, the rest of the letter, the rest of the sentence says, for thou wilt answer me. Go, Vicky.
Well, that word trouble means straits, so like a narrow place.
Yeah.
So you could also say, in the day that while I'm being pressed, I'm not going to complain about the pressing. I'm not going to try to find a way out of the pressing. I'm not going to whine about how uncomfortable the pressing is, but I'm going to turn to the Lord and take responsibility for whatever he has, whatever he's doing, whatever he wants to do that's new or that is, you know, that needs to step in and nurture some aspect or person or place that he is moving amongst.
This pressing truly is that point where we are formed to move into something new. And I was just reminded of the relationship, the analogy that was made between the potter and the clay. I mean, you don't form a pot of clay, you know, from clay without pressing on it. Oftentimes, if the jar that the potter's working on gets marred, he presses on that lump of clay back into a lump and then begins to form it again. Mm-hmm. And so that concept of pressing really is not, I'm in trouble, but I want to receive that work of God upon me so that I can be ready to move into that new thing that he's got ready for me. And to function in the fullness of what that is so that I can be pressed again. You know, I am there. I do what he has called me to do. There's success, there's victory. So then I submit myself again to that pressing, looking forward to the fact that I am going to come out in a new shape, ready for a new thing that is needs to be done in the kingdom. And all this is headed towards that time when Jesus will return and who I have become will be brought in again to that place of utilization for that final moment of whatever is going to happen when Jesus comes and with the saints to battle, to overcome, to establish a new heaven and a new earth, to, you know, however that's going to look. We want to be in that form. And truly believe that final form is going to be exactly what's needed, and we'll be ready to move in a saintly way, in the way that will facilitate that second coming. You know, we're not going to be standing there going, oh, here he comes. We're going to be actually caught up and be a part of all that.
Gotcha.
And it will be as lightning from the east to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what thinking like a son is.
Yes.
That's why you know, you look at these words and you've got to apply the way they really are rather than what the Bible scholars wrote, which mm-hmm. they took the easy way out because they didn't understand what they really meant.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've got the definitions, mm-hmm. but they turned it around to make it about always something in the physical or the emotional or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, God will do that in the course of what we're doing for him, because if as whatever's needed, but you can't be formed over and over without thinking like a son. And you're thinking that way and saying, you know, I'm going to call upon you. I'm going to put myself out there regardless of how I feel right now, regardless of what other people are trying to make me feel like, regardless of my circumstances, and regardless of the situation that surrounds me or the atmosphere. And I'm going to take responsibility for what this new thing is you're doing. And you're going to, now they've got on here, answer me. Well, that could be answer me. But it also, it really talks about God responding as a witness. Mm-hmm. He's going to see what we're doing and go, this is how a son thinks. Yep. This is what I need. I need someone who's willing to come alongside of me, mm-hmm, and join me in what I'm doing, not all the time looking for a way for me to salve what's happening to them and solve, you know, not that he doesn't do that.
No,
but that's not the emphasis. That can't be our emphasis as sons.
And that's why this was a Kara point too, because the reason David was in this position of kingship is because Israel begged for a king to initially, you know, that's where Saul came in and then David. And so you had a people that God wanted this point of relationship with. He wanted this point of commune, this point of continually seeking. And so then when David steps into this role, you know, he's calling out on, again, this saintly calling, this positioning of a son that is what Israel has been called to and not functioning in. Because again, like you said, how else are you king and still taking on a burden for something that has the potential to be but isn't there? But that's what it was all about, the potential for Israel to be sons and a partner, but that wasn't there. And so all the things that we're pressing in against them as a whole, you know, as the king who represents Israel, you know, whether it's the challenges or how these other ites maybe were coming against the nation and oppressing them or keeping them down, that then he would have the father's perspective. So as he's moving the people and leading them forward, you know, as he's functioning in this kingly responsibility where you're leading the people in the father's directive because you've pressed into his heart, that he had to be in this position if he was going to be able to do that, you know? Right. And so...
Right. And think about us going to, whoever's going to Brazil next, the small group going to Brazil, what they're going to have to do. That's why understanding who we are in Adonai and what Adonai is doing now is come to the forefront, I believe. And then we're going to, a group of people going in February? No. When's the next trip to Manaus? February? I mean, our trip, the big trip?
Oh, that's July.
July. Whoever goes in between, all that other stuff. I mean, we're like not overseers necessarily, but we're like those people that are leading a group of people forward. But you have to know who you are. You have to understand and like I said in the beginning, we have to do what is required. When God speaks, we must do what he says. We have to align ourselves and all of these. We have to think like a son. Shane, we got to think like a son.
Well, and if you think about, if God has turned a page and there's a new thing he's getting ready to do, that means he's going to move among the nations in a way that's in different ways. It's going to accomplish the same things, but in different ways than how he's moved among us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not every single time, but you know what I'm talking about. There's
going
to be things that we're going to have to be ready and willing and accepting and listening to know, not just rely on, well, this is how we've done it in the past. This is how we've trained people in the past. This is how we've nurtured people in the past. We move into a new place, and like in Manaus alone, you're dealing with a totally different spiritual structure there.
Right.
Because of what the enemy has done than any other place that we've been maybe to this point. And so it's going to create scenarios and situations that if we have not submitted ourselves in this fashion, I mean, that's why this whole month is the month of submission.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that. So we will be changed. We will be ready, glory to glory, to move in whatever's required into those situations that you can bet the enemy is going to make sure are there that we are not equipped to handle right now. You know, it's only through our submission and our, you know, giving ourselves to the new way he wants to move It's only in that way that we're going to be able to handle these situations.
Right. Amen. And yeah, we need to get there. I need to get there. I'm not looking at anybody. I need to get there. So let's look at verse 8. Among the gods, little Elohims. Sorry. Among the gods, there is none like, there's none like unto thee, O Lord, Adonai. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast, wow, I'm having a hard time. I'm very sorry. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship Shekah before thee, Adonai, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God, Elohim, alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, Jehovah. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Unite my heart to fear thy name. I don't want to... I'm sorry. Thinking English version. I will praise thee, O Lord, Adonai Elohim, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, Elohim, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. I put some, and that's the word soom. I should have spelled it phonetically, S-O-O-M. So that's like erecting or the stemmy. Is that what you just said? Establishing. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God, El, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength, thy oaths, unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for Tob, that they which hate me may see, may ra'ah, and be ashamed, because thou, Jehovah, hast surrounded me. That's what that word means, and comforted me. Wow. Oh, it's like the 15th or 16th time I've read this in the last 24 hours or more. And I'm like, how did I not see that before? He's going to surround me and comfort me. I would think being surrounded, I'd be comforted. Oh, no. Sorry. So David knew what he was talking about. That's all. What's one thing I can definitely say about this scripture, about this psalm, is that he had a pretty amazing understanding of who God is. Every aspect of who God is and how God was going to work. And he was thinking like a son, even though he's not, quote, in the son. He was thinking just like a son of God. Did anybody look up that word comforted? It's nakam, isn't it? So that's the breathing strongly. I'm saying it right, sorry. I'm trying to do things from memory. And so I don't know why that's so comforting, but that's comforting. Well, I'm surrounded, so that's cool. Okay. What else? I'm asking you guys too, but I'm going to look at my notes and see what else I wanted to mention.
I think verse 9 is something that we should probably declare often before the Lord. All nations whom thou hast made will come and basically proskuneo before you, mm-hmm. O Adonai, and glorify your name. I think we just need to declare that, mm-hmm. You know.
No, I totally agree.
Continually, because, I mean.
Oh my gosh.
That is in the face of what it appears, and in the face of all of the great evil that you do see doing its old shenanigans all around us, this is the bottom line of reality.
Yeah.
God said it, and that's enough right there.
Right.
And so it will occur, and we need to keep reminding ourselves and reminding the enemy, you know, that and reminding the heavenly host that we believe this, that we're in total agreement and confident that every nation mm-hmm. is going to, every knee is going to bow before the Father.
Amen. Did you guys see there were protests in Milan last night? Protests in Milan. What were they protesting? I don't know. Does it matter? It just seems like chaos. Enemy just releasing stuff. I mean, that's the Olympics. I'm going to leave it at that. There's so much more you could say about that, but we're not going to. Okay, so Adonai, so this is like, I don't know, the third scripture that I talked about, but like I said, there's lots more. And when we talk about Adonai, I need to get my brain thinking like a son for sure, but understanding that, you know, God has a plan. Duh. All right. And you're part of it. Each person has their part of the plan. Whatever the plan is, you're part of that. And God really desires for us to know who we are, find our calling. Now, it sounds so strange as long as we've been in this walk that we have to find our calling. But it's that refinement of that calling, I think, that the Lord is trying and is revealing to us. You know, yeah, that's so nice that you're a prophetic, but what else? And then his refining of that and how we give prophetic words, how you sharpen that that gift, that talent that the Lord gave you into a more precise, powerful word from the Lord. And, you know, as we said, we're going to seek him, obviously, because we're going to submit ourselves. There's no way around this month of submission without submissioning. It's a new word. So I don't think I have much more to add or say. So anybody else?
Heck yeah. Verse 16, when he's talking about give thy strength unto thy servant, there's that O's, that creative power again. Mm-hmm. That's something else we need to be asking. I know Pastor said this several months ago, but we need to be asking for that as well. We need that in this day that we're walking into. We right. need his creative power working in us and working through us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when I can't remember when he says, show me a token for Tob, that's the word for sign. I cannot remember what that means without looking it up.
I have it down here somewhere.
Anybody remember?
What verse is that in?
17.
I can just look
it up.
We
had that mini thing on signs and wonders and...
And I had it on my piece of paper, but I don't have that page right now. There, nope, that's not it. Somebody else. Right.
No, I don't want the Strong's definition of it. I'm talking about the application, pneumaticos. Oath, O-T-H, it's the word token in verse 17.
No, I didn't write it down. I don't know why I didn't.
Anybody have their line upon line?
Yeah, you want me to go get it?
No, I can go get it.
I can go get it. Somebody can go get it. I know, I'm trying to get my leg out from underneath the stool and I'm catching my microphone. There it is. It's here because I brought it back. Here we go.
A sign is the means whereby our identity in God is established, and it speaks of our distinctiveness in the plan of God. So that's what he's asking for in God's purpose.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of things in here that are great that we can apply in this week even.
Yes.
In approaching the Lord, you know, but that, and then that last one where you said, because the plan of God, that's really what Jehovah is. It's like it's similar. It's a equal equivalent to Yahweh, because the plan of God has surrounded me and breathed vitality into me. That's really what that Nakam is talking about. I mean, that's It's his plan that we're aligned with, that continually, what's the word I'm looking for? Infuses us mm-hmm. with the vitality of his breath. Because it's the living word.
Right. It's amazing how much God's letting us know he's here to help us. Gotta love that. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for showing us this things in this scripture that I didn't even see from the times I've been studying it. Father, we absolutely, positively are going to do what is required of us as your sons to partner with you in all that we're doing. Lord, increase in us our love and relationship with you. Pour out more of you, and then we will be pouring out more of us to you as we move forward. Let us align with your purpose that you have now in the earth. Let us align with the purpose you are speaking forth to each one of us individually. Let us align with the purpose you have in the nations that you have sent us to and are sending us to. And increase your purpose, your passionate love to those in these countries that want to know more of you. Increase that hunger and that thirst, and fulfill that hunger and that thirst, and then increase it again. Because you're the only one that can do that. None of us can do that. So we're relying on you, Lord. So thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.